Thanks for listening to the weekly teaching podcast for City Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. It is our desire to be a Jesus-centered family on mission. If you live here in Knoxville or are ever visiting the area, we'd love to have you with us at one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more at citychurchknox.com. If you're interested in giving financially to help us reach more people in our city, you can give easily at citychurchknox.com/give. And finally, if this teaching is helpful to you in any way, we'd love to hear about it. You can email us at info@citychurchknox.com. With that being said, here's this week's teaching.
There's a pastor in New York City who talks about having one of his ministry mentors come visit his church. And during his mentor's visit, you can imagine the pressure that this pastor could be feeling, right? It's almost palatable. But through all adversity, as the kids say, I don't know if the kids actually say that, but through all adversity, this pastor felt like he preached a lights-out sermon, right? He felt like the gathering's music was awesome. People were responding with hands in the air, raised high. Everyone seemed so engaged, so engaged. The gathering, he felt, exceeded all expectations. And so after the gathering, the pastor, ever eager to talk to his mentor over dinner, got to dinner. And you know what he did? He leaned in, and the first words that came out of his mouth was, so what did you think? Huh? What did you think? Did you like it? Was it good? He was very hyped, right? He was very hyped on himself. And his mentor, in such a fatherly way, he said this. He said, the gathering had such great content. The music was great. The sermon was great. All of this was such great content, but it lacked power. It had so little power. The pastor was well-versed in the scriptures. He knew the Bible inside and out, and to some degree, I would imagine that Bible saturation had distilled down to his church, to his congregation. We often say around here, you reproduce who you are. And so I would imagine others in the church were saturated as well. The content, as he said, was great, but something was lacking. Something was missing. Now, the mentor, he mentioned that power was missing, right? And I would argue that the power he spoke about was the Holy Spirit. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Marcus Williamson. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. And yes, we are finally, for a round of applause, out of Matthew. Am I right? All it took was getting Kent off this stage. That's all it took. You're welcome. We are in week 2 of our newest series, Future Church, where we have laid out 4 areas of focus that we want our church to focus on for the next 4 years. And in case you missed it last week or need a gentle reminder, as a church, we are working toward being Bible-saturated, being Spirit-led, discipleship-driven, and outward-oriented. Now, last week, Kent talked about us being Bible-saturated, and this week, I have the honor of talking about us being Spirit-led as a church family. So by 2028, we want every member of City Church to have an intimate, bold, and obedient relationship with the Holy Spirit. This, in part, is the process to having the power that mentor spoke about earlier in the story, right? When you have an intimate, bold, and obedient relationship with the Spirit, you allow His power to impact your life. So let's break each one down. So we want to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. So we want knowledge of who He is from the Scriptures, yes. Yes and amen. But more importantly, we want to know Him for ourselves, emphasis on know. We want each of you to have a closeness with the Spirit of God. We also want you to have a bold relationship with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, we want you to feel confident in your hearing of the Spirit. That you are so close, that you are so intimate with the Spirit, that you feel confident, that you feel bold in knowing that, hey, the Spirit is actually speaking to me right now. Lastly, we want each of you to have an obedient relationship with the Spirit, as we listen to the Spirit, as we draw closer to the Spirit. We want all of that to lead to actually obeying what he says, right? Because the Spirit is always talking. So we want to be able to obey what he says. That way we can look more like Jesus. This is all a part of what it means to be Spirit-led. And as you become Spirit-led, you individually, as you become Spirit-led, we become Spirit-led. See how that works? Now, being Spirit-led, it doesn't happen overnight, right? Because intimacy takes work. If you have a best friend, you know this to be true. Knowing their routines inside and out, why they like things a certain kind of way, all of their quirks, all of that little stuff that they do that you don't necessarily like, all of that, how to be a good friend to them, right? All of that takes time. If you have a spouse, you know this to be true as well. All of that applies to that. To know someone deeply actually takes work. It takes time. It takes a whole lot of listening and a lot less of this, right? And I would argue it's similar with the Holy Spirit. So because it takes time, here's kind of how I want to frame up this sermon today. I want us to treat today as Holy Spirit 101. Holy Spirit 101. This is like an appetizer. It is a primer for us today. Because in order to truly be Spirit-led as a church family, it's going to take some time. It is going to take probably a lot of time. So with that being said, this summer, we're actually going to, spoiler alert, we're going to be teaching 10 weeks on the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about God, yeah, that's right. We'll talk about God's power. We'll talk about God's presence. We're going to talk about actually hearing his voice, right? We're going to talk about all of the gifts, prophecy, tongues, healing, worship, all of that. Our goal for this summer is for it to be Holy Spirit 201, 301, 401. You kind of get the picture. We want to be able to answer all of your pertinent questions, to unweird any unnecessary weirdness, to kind of demystify some of the harder things to kind of grasp and understand. And really, we just want to help us all to be able to navigate and understand more of who the Holy Spirit is. So there is a high chance that I won't be able to answer, you know, all of your questions today. Sorry. But the hope is that we'll be able to do more so later on when we do 10 weeks of the Holy Spirit. Sound good? All right. So for our time today, what I want for us to do is to kind of zoom out a little and to look at how Galatians can actually help us to start to have the conversation of being Spirit-led in our own lives. Are you ready? All right, I'm ready. Let's do it. Verse 16 says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So real quick, that word walk in the Greek is this word peripateo. Can you say peripateo? Wow, you did better than I thought you were going to do, to be honest. I had to practice that like a lot of times. Okay, so when Paul says to peripateo, what he is saying is to orient our life around the Spirit daily. Now, let's put a pin in that because we'll come back to that phrase a couple of times later, but I just wanted you to kind of notice that phrase right there. Let's keep reading. It says, "For the flesh," Paul says, "desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not able to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit," there's our phrase, "you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." All right, so first, Paul is starting off by contrasting walking by the Spirit and walking by the flesh. The evidence of the walking by the flesh, he says, is obvious. If you were around back in January during our formation series, we actually did a whole week on this, talking about the flesh. So feel free to reference that. We won't talk too much about the flesh. But here, Paul is simply saying that it is evident, right? By some combination of this list, and he also says, and the like, of all of this stuff, when we aren't walking by the Spirit, we are walking by the flesh. And that people who live like that won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, don't overlook that statement. For some of us, quite a few of the things that are on this list are very evident in our lives on a regular basis. And we don't even see it as a problem sometimes. We certainly don't see how much of a barrier it is to life with the Spirit. But Paul says here that those two things are contrary to one another. The flesh is over here, the Spirit is over here, right? They're oil and water, they're contrasted. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of you already have that melody in your head if you've been around church a long time. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the counter to desires of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit, or the things of that the Spirit actually desires for our life. And really, if you polled Christians and non-Christians alike, I believe we would all say we could all stand for a little more love in our lives, right? A little more joy. I'm sure we would all love a little more peace within the midst of the chaos that is our lives sometimes. Yeah. Anyone else want self-control in your life? Just me? I see one hand. Yeah. The ability to resist the flesh, right? So the question is how do we make an actual conscious effort to actually have the fruit of the Spirit? If we desire any and all of it, and I would imagine we do, I would imagine we all want the fruit of the Spirit, how do we actually get it? Well, verse 25, I think, will give us our answer. It says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So before we read that, Christ has made it possible for us to crucify our passions and our desires of our flesh. And here, the follow-up is that the way we do this is by living by the Spirit, by keeping in step with the Spirit. Now, that phrase, keep in step, is less about pace and more about a rhythm. More about a rhythm. There should be like a synchronization between you and the Spirit. And notice, it does not say, let us keep up with the Spirit. Right? The Spirit is not out here in front of you waiting for you to finally catch up with Him. Nor are you supposed to be racing ahead of the Spirit. The idea here is that you are walking closely by Him, keeping in step with Him. Think of it this way. When you are walking with a friend and talking with them, are y'all like at a weird, odd pace of one another? Right? Are you multiple steps in front of them trying to talk to them, or vice versa? That would be weird, right? That would be very awkward. Be very weird at best, very clunky at best. See, if you are walking with your friend, the only way to actually have a meaningful conversation is to do what? It's to walk alongside them, right? To walk beside them. You have to have a similar walking pattern. You can't just speed ahead or lag in the back. You have to keep in step with one another. Okay, that's where we want to be with the Spirit. To be in step with the Spirit. And I think you will see that walking in step with the Spirit, orienting your daily life around the Spirit, will make the fruit of the Spirit more evident in your life and the desires of the flesh less evident in your life. And this syncs us up with what we are wanting to do as a church family, right? To be Spirit-led. We are all church fam. We are all being discipled by something. We've said that before, right? We are all being discipled by something. And last week, the last week of Matthew, we actually talked about this, and I want you to see kind of how it applies here. We are all being influenced by our flesh more than we realize. And the things we look at, the things that we entertain ourselves with, all of this stuff is actually shaping us and forming us to be a certain kind of people, a certain kind of person. Justin Whitmore Early, who wrote the book Habits of the Household, he says it this way: the normal is what shapes us the most, though we notice it the least. The normal is what shapes us the most, though we notice it the least. What happens in your daily life actually does matter. Your routines matter. It is all shaping you. And I would argue that when you are not sensitive to the Spirit in your day-to-day, in your normal life, when you're actually not listening to him or giving space to listen to him, then it gives opportunity for your disposition in the flesh to kind of take over. And thus, for you to be contrary to what the Spirit would actually want to do in your life. Think of it like this. This right here is a matrix moment for many of us. So based on what we just read, there seems to be two options. You have a choice here. You can either keep living the way you are, right? Following after desires of the flesh, continuing the same routines that you have done for so long that don't include any orientation to the Spirit. So you can keep doing that. Or you can choose to start keeping in step with the Spirit. And in the process, being able to crucify the desires of the flesh, to crucify the passions and desires that the flesh wants you to continue to do. Two options. Now, hear me say, the flesh won't go down that easily, right? Because it would want nothing more than for you to leave here today with no power from the Holy Spirit. It would want nothing more than for you to leave here today and to return to how it has always been in your life. It doesn't want you to disrupt your routines. It doesn't want you to disrupt your pattern of life. It wants things to continue the way they are currently. But the Spirit wants to grab a hold of you right now. It wants to grab a hold of you right now. It wants to shake you out of your routines. It wants you to shake you out of your pattern of life right now. It wants you to look more and more like Jesus, and not just in speaking terms. It wants you to actually act on what you know. It wants you to fight the flesh and its desires. But none of this, listen, none of this is possible if we are not actively trying to keep in step with the Spirit. You will not be able to have true joy, true peace, true self-control over your impulses if you are not trying to walk alongside the Spirit. So how do we do that, right? How do we exactly keep in step with the Spirit is the million-dollar question. Well, I think part of being Spirit-led or keeping in step with the Spirit means that we must actually be sensitive to the Holy Spirit by making space for him in our daily lives. This is the one-on-one part. This is where it all starts. It's hard to be Spirit-led if you are actually not aware that the Spirit is actually in you right now. That's part of what it means to be sensitive to him. And I'm not just talking, again, about some intellectual knowing of him. Sure, we intellectually know that the Holy Spirit is there. What I am talking about is that you know him personally. That you know him. I'm talking about what Paul meant a moment ago when he said, since we already live by the Spirit. He's assuming we already know him, right? There is an acknowledgement there, a sense of truly knowing the Spirit is in us. And when you do that, you're able to grasp all of that. When you're able to grasp all that, that's when you can start keeping in step with the Spirit. And I think the way we do that, the way we start that process, is by orienting our lives around the Spirit. This is where the work begins. Because hear me say, I get it, we're all busy. We all have busy lives. We're never not moving. We're never not planning for something, right? Never not working or thinking. Our brains are on 24/7, constantly rolling through our schedules, right? We fill our schedules to the brim, to the point where we don't have capacity to kind of think outside of our schedules. We worry daily about many things. And for some of us, the problem is not that we fill our schedules with bad things. No, I'm sure we fill our schedules with good things as well. But what I want you to hear me say is that when we fill our schedules to the brim, we don't leave room for the Spirit. Corrie ten Boom once said this. She's a writer. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Just like sin, busyness cuts off your connection to God. There's a story in the Gospels where Jesus visits the home of Mary and Martha. In the story, Martha kind of busies herself with preparations, and Luke actually writes that she is distracted by many things while her sister Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's just chilling there with Jesus, listening to him. So Martha comes over and asks Jesus to tell Mary to start helping her. I don't know why she didn't want to just go direct to Mary, but she went to Jesus instead. Do you know what Jesus says? You know how Jesus responds there? He says this: Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Pay attention to that word chosen there. Mary has chosen what is better. That word is very active, very active. Instead of being worried about everything around her, Mary saw Jesus as her focus. And so for us, I want us to get to a point where the Spirit starts becoming more of a focus in our lives. I want us to choose to make space for the Spirit in our lives. So this could look like for a lot of things. This could look like a lot of things. And for one, it could look like on our drive to work. On our drive to work and from work, maybe we can turn off our music and podcasts, right? And ask the Spirit if he's got anything to actually say to us in that moment. And yes, it's probably going to be weird the first couple of times you do it. But that is how you start the process. You have to start somewhere. You have to start by doing the thing, as a friend once said. If you're a college student, maybe for you it looks like praying to the Spirit when you walk to and from class. Maybe you take your AirPods out of your ear. Maybe you leave your phone in your pocket, right? Being able to actually soak in what he is trying to say to you in that moment. Another one, maybe if you have a stressful meeting that you're having to attend, or if you are needing to talk to your friend that you have not prepared for. Instead of being anxious, maybe it looks like actually praying before said meeting, right? Asking the Holy Spirit for his peace to rest on you, like Philippians 4 would say. Instead of making space for the flesh, you are making space for the Spirit. Before you close your eyes at night, maybe you get your phone further out of reach from you, right? It's very tempting to look at listen to podcasts or to watch your favorite YouTube or whatever, or to scroll mindlessly, all of that. So instead of doing that, maybe what it looks like is doing that and actually thanking the Spirit for what he has done for you today. Recalling things that he has done. Thanking him. Praying about any lingering anxiety from the day. any lingering anxiety that may be leading up to tomorrow. This is how you can make space. If you live with others, roommates, a spouse, family, they should be included in this section, right, of making space for the Spirit. You are linked in such a way where what you do impacts each other and vice versa. So how do you make space? So if you have a roommate and you both follow after Jesus, maybe it looks like putting short Bible verses on post-it notes on your bathroom mirror or on the fridge versus like, be still and know that I am God. It's a short and sweet reminder for you to be able to pause and to remember that the Spirit is actually with you. Maybe it looks like you and your roommates holding each other accountable to get up early and to be able to have built-in time to make space for the Spirit. If you're married, maybe it looks like you and your spouse getting up early to pray together before you start your respective daily routines. Spirit, give us an awareness and connection to you as we go throughout our day. It doesn't have to be long. Just a habit that kind of puts your focus and attention on the Spirit as you get your day started. If you're married with kids in the house, maybe it looks like alternating your time getting ready in the morning, right? One of you attends to the kids and their needs while the other actually has some extended time in the Word, extended time with silence and solitude to listen to the Spirit. Here's something new that our household actually has been trying for a while, that book, Habits of the Household, that I mentioned earlier. It talks about making space by doing a sending prayer each morning for your house. So here's kind of how it works for us. Basically, someone says a chunk of the prayer, and everyone kind of repeats after that person. So my son, Z, who is 3, has learned it and actually leads our family in this sending prayer most mornings, I would say. And hear me say, he had it memorized before me, so he may be an anomaly. But if you don't mind, I actually would love to lead us in this prayer right now. Are y'all game for that? Okay. All right, so just repeat after me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this day. Bless us as we work, study, and play. Be present with us in all we do. May we bring glory and honor. Sorry, that was a weird stop. To you. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. So this, along with other ways, might feel overly simple, right? Right, that was a simple prayer, right? But the key here is not simplicity. The key is consistently. Did that rhyme? That rhymed. Okay. This is what we are going for. Whatever you do, no matter how simple or ordinary, do it consistently every single day. Because the normal, like we said earlier, the normal is what shapes us the most, though we notice it the least. This, along with other ways, is how we orient our lives around the Spirit. This is how you create sensitivity to the Spirit. This is how you make space for the Spirit. Now, not only do we want to make space for us and ours, right? We don't want to just do that. We also want to do it for the people around us, right? We don't want to fall into the American individualism trap where we think that the Spirit's power and presence was only meant for us. We also want to be sensitive to what he can actually do through us for the sake of others. So that means if you are in life group, one of the best ways to love your group well is to be praying for your group, that the Spirit would actually help enter into the space. Because here's what I want us to realize. Our life groups currently, I probably have these numbers wrong, Colton can explain that later, but currently we have about 20 plus people attending our life groups regularly. That number probably goes up depending on the day. So think about it like this. That is 20 plus people who are coming from work, some with kids, others who have probably had a hard day, others who wish the day would end, right? Some who have not eaten, right? Any hangry people in the room, right? People who have not eaten or are trying to eat in the midst of life group, right? You're chomping on that chicken, you know what I'm saying. These are people coming in from various perspectives from the day. So who do you think has the power to help each of you to have ears to hear? Who can give you the strength to focus on the things of God after what everyone has already been through from that day? It's the Holy Spirit, right? So on your drive to life group, or you know, if you have people meet at your house, you can be praying for an awareness of the Spirit's presence during your group time. Maybe you're a leader and it looks like beginning the life group in silence for a minute or two, allowing space for everyone to listen to what the Spirit might have to say through the discussion questions. This, along with other things, can be how you start to make space for the Spirit in your life group. Again, it's small and it's ordinary, but it's not insignificant. Now, as we are sensitive to the Spirit when it comes to life group, let us also be sensitive to the Spirit when it comes to people who don't know Jesus, right? Maybe it's a coworker or coworkers you regularly come in contact with. Maybe it's a family member that you see on occasion, or someone that you go to school with on the regular. Maybe it's someone that has similar hobbies to you outside of work or school. There should be dedicated space every day where we have time to be sensitive to what the Spirit might want to do through us for the sake of those people, the people that we see regularly. So let us pray for eyes to see the people that need Jesus, as well as have ears to hear those who are hurting and need healing from him, to pray that his power would rest on us, that when he leads us to speak, for you to speak, that whether it's just a regular water cooler conversation or maybe it's something more intentional, that when you speak, there is power behind your words. And when you pray, afterwards, when you're finished talking to them, that whatever you said, whatever it was, it would actually cut to their heart. And then, who knows, maybe they would decide to follow after the Lord afterwards. How beautiful could that be, right? The power of the Spirit can actually accomplish this through you. In all of this, let's remember that we need we all need to orient our lives around the Spirit in order to be Spirit-led. So, as we close, I have a question for us. Do you want to be Spirit-led? Oh, okay. Hey, come with it. Say it with your chest. Do you want to be someone who your coworkers refer to having joy, this immense joy about them? Do you want to be the person who, when everything is going wrong at school or at work, when others might be freaking out, that you actually remain calm throughout it all, right? That there is this peace that grounds you and allows others to feel that same peace radiating off of you? Do you want to be someone that doesn't give in so regularly to sin? Maybe it's generational sin, that you don't give in to it, but you're actually able to overcome it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to die to selfish ambition and be someone who actually prefers other people over yourself? See, in a world that is so self-driven, me, myself, and I, dying to self can be extremely hard. But I want to tell you today that the power of the Spirit can kill that like that. It is possible. We want this for you. We want this for our church to be Spirit-led. So as we get ready for communion, here's what I want us to try. I want us to make space for the Spirit now. Y'all knew this was coming, right? Okay. I'm just checking. It may feel a little weird for some of us in the room. Might feel a little awkward. But like I've said before, what better place? What better place than amongst followers of Jesus, right? What better time than now? Some of you need to interact with the Spirit for the first time. Let's do that today. Maybe you don't know what to say. That's okay as well, right? You don't need to say much of anything. You can simply say, Spirit, help me to hear you. Help me to listen to you right now. Some of you need to reconnect, as it will, and apologize for ignoring the Spirit's voice in your life. Maybe you've heard from him in your own spirit and you've dismissed it. Maybe you've heard from him through others, right? Maybe other people have been like trying to coach you and speak to you, and you've dismissed that as well. This is the moment to apologize and ask for forgiveness in this. And then to repent, right? To turn away from whatever it is you were doing and to listen to his voice by acting on what he calls you to do. We'll talk soon about all of this, but for now, our call for you is to make space for the Spirit to come in and speak in any way that he would want to speak to you. For others of you, you need power over something right now. You need power over some type of sin that has a stranglehold over your life right now. You've tried medicine, you have tried numbing with entertainment, you have tried distraction, all of those things, and it's not working. It's not actually killing the sin, right? You've tried to dismiss it from your brain, but somehow, some way, it keeps creeping back in, right? The flesh wants what it wants. You see it as clear as day. Right now, you need to ask the Spirit to break through the noise and to help you by his power break free from that particular sin in your life. That he would help you to listen to what he wants you to say, whether that is to confess to life group for the first time, whether that is to talk to a counselor and actually be honest with where you're at, right? Whether it's talking to your roommates about a sin pattern that they don't necessarily see because it happens when they are not around. Maybe it's talking to your spouse about something that you have been doing that you shouldn't have been doing. Whatever that is, as you listen to the Spirit, maybe he is prompting you to also act right now. So whatever that is, as you listen, as you tune your ear to the Spirit, I want you to be able to make space emotionally and mentally. And whatever he says to do, again, maybe it's talking to life group, maybe it's talking to a spouse, maybe it's talking to a friend, whatever that is, I want you to feel the freedom to be able to do that. We're going to have a couple of minutes of silence during this time, so nothing kind of distracts us, right? The band's not going to come up yet. I'm actually going to go sit down. We're going to turn the lights down. All of that's going to happen. And my hope is that once you get over that initial weirdness that no one's up on stage, after you get past that, that the Spirit is actually able to break through any of the noise that's left in your head. And after a while, he'll be able to actually really start speaking to you. So after all that's done, I'll come back up and I'll pray and I'll transition us into communion. Let's do that now.